Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One,
Spotify,
and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. Time for the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast.
Welcome to the MIP. This week we have a great show lined up for you. The NBA Finals are in full swing. Did you see that game four? Conor McGregor, is his fighting career on its last leg? The TB12 effect is touching all of Tampa Bay, and the Dallas Cowboys and Pittsburgh Steelers are preparing to report because the NFL season is right around the corner. Now, folks, listen, this week on the MIP report, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do because I watch it all the time. And for those of you who get an opportunity to do what we do and talk to people, you have a producer and you know, my producer, Sean, we come on, we start talking and meeting about this show. We talk forever and about everything, you know. So then I come in, you know, and I'm watching all sports. I watch everything that comes on sports. And I always see Scott Van Pelt with his guy on. So I said to Sean, listen, man, listen, I want to bring you on and let's have some fun. Let's just open up the conversation and talk a little bit. And that's what we are going to do today. This is the perfect time because we are right at that place where the NBA is about to hand off to the NFL. I mean, if it goes game seven of the NBA Finals will be July 22nd. July 22nd. That's right. The Dallas Cowboys report to camp. Man, this would be great. I mean, really great. If we could almost do this every year, pass them off like that, it really would be great. But we won't be able to do it every year, but we will do it this year. Sean, come on in, man. Let's get talking about this, man. Let's break all of this down and have a little fun right here on the MIP, man. Welcome. Many days you have been here. But welcome to this side of the show, buddy.
Michael, it's a pleasure to be on the mic finally with you. As you said, we basically do an entire podcast before the podcast every week. So I think we decided to just bring the production meeting onto the show because we ended up discussing so much. And as you said, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there. There's a lot of topics to cover. And, you know, there's a lot of aspects to these topics. So, you know, we that's what we end up doing. We end up throwing these topics out here and decide which way we want to go with some of these. And, you know, it's been fun with you in the back end. But it's great to be on mic here with you now. So,
yeah, give you some fun in action here. But you know what, John, just for those people that just give you some understanding of a show. Every show, TV, radio, every show. That's the mantra of every show. They always want to try to get the production meeting on air because the production meetings are always great. And it's the first time people are saying stuff and the first time people are hearing stuff. So I got to try to learn. I try to learn little tricks. Like when I got a real good something that I want to drop off is real funny, I don't share it in the production meeting because I want first time real reactions on air because there's nothing like that first real reaction, you know? So we're giving you a little peek behind the curtain and then let the person behind the curtain peek out and speak. And that's Sean. We give him a peek behind the curtain and then let you peek out behind that curtain and do some speaking. Sean, you toss up these topics, man, and let's start knocking them down on this MIP report.
Yeah, this is basically how we do it, and this is how we'd start. I mean, last night we had game four of the NBA Finals. Bucks tie the series back up at 2. Chris Middleton, legacy game, career-high 40-point performance. It was basically all him down the stretch. He had like an 8-0 run down there in the fourth quarter in the last couple of minutes. What do you think, Michael?
But they still left that game, and Chris Middleton played, man, and played great. We still left that game pointing to the stars, though. And Chris Middleton, he's playing great, and he's a star, but not that superstar. The superstars in this game is Chris Paul and Giannis. And we left that game talking about Chris Paul and Giannis, the great play of Giannis with that incredible block. That was incredible. You know what, dude? And that's what I love about it. It's sports. Now, see, this will be the block. You know, if they win, the block. If the Suns win, that valley oop. It's those little moments, that will live forever. But they only live forever if you win, if you get that win.
No, you're right. Right now, people are comparing that block to LeBron's rundown block of Andre Iguodala a couple of years. But you're right. If they don't close this thing out, it's just going to be another great play that happened in the playoffs that one year. You know?
Right. Because LeBron, they got it done.
Right. You know? I mean, that when it ended up really being the defining, really was one of the last big things to go down to close that game out. So, you know, yeah. I mean, if the Bucks can close this thing out, this is going to be one of the main things and memories that people look back to, because I mean, it was incredible. I don't know about calling it better than LeBron's. That was a whole court run down there, but either way, that was just insane. Both of them at their absolute pinnacle, DeAndre Ayton and Giannis.
Way up there, dog. They were way up there. And it really was. And Capella was up there higher, but he had to get it and try to control it. And he couldn't bring it with force, you know. So Giannis just got his hands up there, man. I thought that was incredible. I thought it was an incredible play. Giannis, I've always liked him. But I'm gonna tell you something, man. He has taken a leap in my book, you know. I'm not talking about his game per se. I'm talking about his grit. From what I saw, and I thought that knee was gone, to what I see, the way he's playing and making plays.
Oh, he's painted an incredible picture this playoffs, hasn't he? I mean, nobody thought he was going to come back, came back immediately. Then he's the one in the huddle, came, come on, guys. Like, you know, really getting his guys going. And then, you know, he's really showing up here. So, also, Devin Booker.
Letting Middleton do the things he's doing without having these complaints nor feeling like, man, I'm losing my team. This is my team. You know, give me my team back. I'm going to take these shots. He's allowing sometimes, and I heard, you know, we had Kendrick Perkins on, Perk talk about it sometimes. He's allowing Middleton to sometimes be Batman. I don't mind being Robin. You know, usually there's a Batman and a Robin, and we want clear, defined roles. That's Batman. That's Batman all the time. That's Robin. That's Robin all the time. But these two, they just go down whichever pole they need to go down for that game. And sometimes Middleton come down the Batman pole and Giannis comes down the Robin pole. And then sometimes Giannis will come down the Batman pole and Middleton comes down the Robin pole. I find that fascinating. And I'm going to tell you something, man. That's a hard thing to do. Y'all kiss my butt. That's a hard thing to do.
Find that rhythm each night. You know, we saw Chris Paul's also slightly off, and it just passes are quite off. He's not quite making the shots, not quite hitting the right rim, or not quite making those alley-oops. You know, it's just it's incredible to, you know, find that rhythm each night to know how much of me I need to, or maybe I do need to dish it tonight.
Right. And not just that rhythm. I'm talking about it's a hard thing to do. To say, all right, ego, shut your ass up. I'm not Batman tonight. That's my problem right there. Like, all right, ego, shut up. I'm not Batman tonight. I remember.
Hey, maybe to keep a little piece of that ego, you just need to tell yourself, you know what? He's just really hot tonight. I'm not off. But Chris is hot tonight. I need to dish.
I wish I had it, man. I may have more rings if I had that ability to put my ego in check. I remember Tim Brown. We were over at the Pro Bowl one year, and we were out having a little good time. And Tim Brown said to me, his deal was up. Tim said, Mike, you know, and Tim's from Dallas, you know, and we've known each other forever. And so when I see him in Dallas, we'd be together. And then we go over there, we're in the Pro Bowl, and he said, Mike, you know, my deal up, man. I'm really thinking about trying to come on home and play now. I was like, No. That's not a good idea. That's not a good idea.
Enough passes like, to go around here, Tim. I love you.
I said, you're my dude, dog. But no. We can't have that right there. I wish I would have, you know, not taken that approach. But it's like,
hey, you know, maybe he would have opened more stuff up for you. But hey, also, you know, had you played 10 years later, you know, hey, there's 15 more passes to go around just in general.
Right,
you know?
Right. That's exactly my point.
You got Emmett to worry about.
We were throwing the ball maybe 25 times, 26 times. Yeah, I'm thinking, all right, by seven. Okay, they got it. That's it. Okay, then he's going to get his three. Hey, but ain't no more. We don't have any more. We don't have any more. All right, you know, he and I, we always laugh about that. We laugh about that. As a matter of fact, I have an appearance with him this weekend. I'm sure he'll bring it up again because he's always bringing it up. But I'm just telling you, man, it's a hard thing to do. And those guys, you know, they have it. They put it together well. Now, you brought something up that I want to get back to that trips me out too now. This roller coaster we call Chris Paul, you know, that right there has been interesting. And I know, you know, Devin Booker was off. He sat him and he came back and played great. Oof. You know, and Chris Paul, the turnovers. What's surprising me with Chris Paul right now, you know, turnover. And I don't know how much we heard, you know, he talking about his hand was hurt in the last series that he won that series, but. But I'm expecting Chris Paul to bounce back and show up and show off. Yeah, big time in this game. Big time in the game on Saturday. I'm expecting – there's no way you're going to continue. He's going to continue to play poorly like he played in that last
game. Maybe it was a case of like, you know, they had him on their heels there at 2-0 and he's just like, oh, I'm going to win this thing, you know?
Yeah, that's another little,
you know, maybe the nerves came back of like, oh, wow, is this really going to happen? And, you know, some of that, maybe get a little ahead of yourself there, but you know, hey, they've lost two games now. You maybe got a little bit of that bite, a little bit of that fight left back into him, you know, get back up against the wall, you know, maybe that's where he needs to be.
You're right. And it's hard too now to turn that thing on off and on. It's hard. I don't care what you say. You either got to have it on all the way or by the day when you get up that morning and you hit the gym, you can't get in the game and say, oh my God, these guys are playing today and let's flip it on. It's already too late. I find it interesting that Milwaukee has been down 0-2 and no big deal. Let's come back and get back in it. And they've done it again. I hope now, Sean, I tell you this is what I'm hoping. I hope this thing goes to seven. And we'll see in game seven on July 22nd what goes down. If they continue to hold home court like they've had, you know, Milwaukee, you know, now we'll get 1-1-1. If they continue to do that, then we will get that game seven. And then the game seven will be anybody's game. I don't think home court matters in a game seven because
Michael, I love a game seven in curling. I don't care. You know, I love game sevens. Period. So I hope we get it. But you alluded to it a little bit at the top of the show here about this nice, beautiful handoff we're getting here with the NBA Finals and football training camp. It's just like, all right, it's a nice little handshake, handoff. Here's The Rock. All right. Thank you very much. Because normally we're, you know, this is all going down around Father's Day, and we got that month and a half of
baseball.
You know, baseball and nap time and, you know.
You're right. And that's the order. You know, it's the NFL and then the NBA. So to have that handoff is cool. I always say, you know, man, even after the NBA, while we're waiting on football, you know, I'm waiting on my wife. I'm just hanging out with the girl here, right. You know, but I'm waiting on my wife. My wife is the NFL, but you hang out with baseball. But this handoff is going to be interesting. And I mean, going to go right into it right after that. Oh, my God. Like, I'm going to tell you something. Because I when we had playoff games every night, I missed that. I really do. Now, I know it's the finals, you know, of course, there's only two teams, so we got to give them some rest so we can see the best. We can see them at their best. But I surely miss watching basketball.
Oh, man, these two night waits, you know, they're waiting two full days in between. Oh, gosh, they're killing us over here, man. Just give it to me already.
Have you changed your mind? Has Milwaukee changed? After those first two games, everybody had Phoenix winning this series. Has anything changed for you now that Milwaukee has shown itself?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I feel like it can go seven games now after these last two games. You know, in game three, I wasn't really sure because the Suns were just off, just clearly off. So, okay, there's one game. But now they've taken both at home, and I have full faith that this can go game seven, and it can go either way now, too. Milwaukee's got a lot of tools, man. Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday has been incredible. You know, they got a lot of tools, but I think I'm still holding out hope that Chris Paul gets this victory.
Yeah.
You know, Giannis and those young Bucks, they got some time. Chris doesn't have as much time. I think I want to see him close it out.
And Giannis has proven, I think, what he needed to prove. You know, because after those early exits last few years, everybody said, you got to get it. He's gotten here, and they've shown up. You know, he's had the back-to-back 40-point games. Hey, you know, he's been done something incredible in each game. He last game, the big block, you know. So he's justified his league's MVP, and he's played and showed up in the biggest spot coming off of that knee situation. You've been justified, period. He's good now. He's good. I want Chris, as I tweeted out before, that I want Chris to get it just so he can walk in that room with his boys, you know, Dwayne Wade and LeBron, and not feel slighted. You know,
yeah.
I love Dan Marino. I just wonder sometimes when Dan Marino has to walk in a room with Joe Montana and Troy Aikman, all those guys in there, Dan Marino's arm was just as good as any, but he doesn't have any. And I just wonder how he feels. So I hope Chris Paul gets it and get a chance to be called a champion so he can join his boys, Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. Now, Sean, speaking of a champion, let's talk Conor McGregor, buddy.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Sean,
that was
I'm not going
vicious.
To another one.
First of all, Michael, I've never seen, and this was pay-per-view, so it's pay-per-view, but I've never seen such a bad injury get replayed so many times on the broadcast. They showed it and showed it and showed it and showed it. Wow. Woo, that was ugly.
Yeah, usually he's trying to hide it, but it was. And I was playing, guys. Don't get mad at me when I just, you know, I just threw that out saying, you know, is Conor McGregor fighting career on his last leg, literally and figuratively speaking. He's on his last leg. But did you see, too, Sean, where Conor posted that you know, a couple things here. I mean, right. He posted that he's been dealing with all the stress fractures and his leg. And he had already
He's come out and said now, you know, I was hurt before the fight. He's trying to come out now and give a reason to get that next fight.
I've heard a lot of stuff now. Now, and they said he had checked in. He had told the UFC he had some stress fractures and all that. Okay. I got you. But right after that fight, Conor was already promoting the next fight.
Oh, the second he hit the mat, he was promoting that next fight.
Oh my God.
And I actually saw a tweet from Ronda Rousey bringing up this exact point. She's just like, I'm amazed that the second you hit the mat, with that leg mangled as it is, you're on to promoting your next fight. I wouldn't have the mind to do that. I don't know who would have the mind to do that with their leg looking the way they're looking. And that was on his mind. I mean, the immediate thing on his mind was, I need to make sure that they know that this was a doctor stoppage. You heard him saying, doctor stoppage. So he wanted that technicality accounted for immediately and then was immediately onto the talking shit train. Immediately back onto, okay, I've been slighted here immediately. I need another fight. Give me that other shot. And you know what? That's what Conor McGregor is, man. He's an incredible fighter. But he's an incredible salesman. You know, he's an incredible promoter. Right. And, you know, hey, that's what people want to see in that sport. You know, it's a fight. And, you know, Chael Sonnen, that dude got people revved up in the same exact way because, hey, they're about to get into a fight, you know?
Won't you talk and know her? Show me. Yeah. Show me. That's what's so funny to me. That's what's so funny, because everybody always tell you, act like you've been there before. Have some class. Class don't sell. No. Not in the fight game. Class don't sell. You know? Yeah, class in the fight game is called boring. We don't want to pay money to watch you be boring. And we want you fighting, talking, noise, you know, and Conor is the best at it. Now, I found that interesting when Ronda posted that and saying, wow. And you mentioned it. Wow, Conor's right back on to promoting. I was like, do I call that promoting? Or do I call that protecting? You see, do I call that promoting or do I call that protecting? See, I call it protecting in this sense. Conor knew. He knew. Had he not tried to protect, get these things out, I mean, it was going to be a serious dent in the image, the bravados that he placed out there. All of it is going to be a serious dent. As I sat there and watched him on the floor, I started thinking, this may sound crazy, but this is probably a blessing for Conor. Because Conor just lose this fight outright. That's ugly.
You know, I had the same thought. That fight was not going his way.
Right, that fight was not going his way.
Now
Conor can't get him another big fight because we want to see it and see him get through it healthy. Now, the question is, all right, you're going to be out a year now. Do you come back and fight somebody that's not so good? And waste that premier back to the octagon on somebody that's not so good so you can get some work in? Or do you come right back and jump back in the fire? You know, Poirier, he'll fight for the championship. And then, you know, what I guarantee you, this is what they hope. What the UFC hope. 6 months, Dustin fights for the championship, and he wins. 6 months from that, Conor McGregor should be back, and Conor McGregor gets a shot.
But there's also that game of, you know, the fight fans, and Dana White's still got to be fair in a way. And if Dustin Poirier goes off and wins the championship, can you give Conor McGregor an immediate title shot? I don't know that you can.
Are you joking?
No, I mean, he definitely is worth the marketing and the money and all that. But as far as, you know, who's the actual contender and the next guy up, you know?
Right. I'm with you on that. It's a bad
boy. Hey, look, if Dustin goes back out and loses a fight, then absolutely. Yeah. And either way, you know, Dustin said there's some bad blood there.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what he said. He was like, you know, that's, I don't care if this is going to happen in the street or in the ring.
And that's how they get him in. So you hit it. I was about to go there. That's how they get him in.
Title shot or no. Dustin win.
And you know what it said. Who do you want, Dustin? You're the champ now. Dustin is going to say, because I'm sure that's the most money Dustin's made, too, fighting Conor McGregor.
For sure.
Now you put a belt on the line, and Dustin, if he's sitting up there, and he said after he won, you know, Conor said some real things. He said he want to murder me. He said some things about my woman. If it's up to me, I want to finish that unfinished business. Mm-hmm. Who ain't buying that? Even though I said I ain't buying no more fights until Conor wins, but I lied. I jumped right on that.
But you know, and if you're Dustin Poirier and that fight was going your way, and it was, by the way, he was bringing it to him. You know, you do feel slighted. You didn't get to finish it off
and show people.
And had he finished him off, not by breaking his leg, by submitting him or knocking him out again, then you're right. That really knocks a lot of shine off of Conor McGregor's product and puts a lot onto his, you know. So I think he kind of does want that too, you know.
Yeah, and let me tell you, and Conor doesn't want to fight Charles Oliveira. You don't want to mess with Charles. That's who Dustin will probably go fight right now. Charles Oliveira. He's probably just a smidget, right up on the. Khabib on that ground game. I mean, he's right there with Khabib. And Conor don't want any part of that. So you want Dustin to knock off Charles Oliveira so you can come back and at least have a shot at a stand-up game with Poirier, with Dustin. I don't think he has a shot with Charles Oliveira, but it's going to be interesting to see. It'll be interesting. I guarantee you. Now, this the UFC got to get Conor in there. I mean, he's the biggest star.
He's John the most Jones, attractive product they have. You're right. I mean, him and John Jones, you know, they say stuff, they sell their fights, and they're incredible in the ring most of the time.
I want Dana and John Jones to come together in some kind of way. You know, that's another issue. And I know I'm digressing here, but both are my boys. I love Dana, and I love John. You know, I love John. He's a good friend of mine, good dude. Matter of fact, I had to call his agent back. He called me the other day, too. But good friend of mine, I just want to see John back in the ring, back in the octagon. And I don't care. And I don't know why Dana won't say, all right, I'll pay you a little more. You know what I mean? Just pay him. The man's one of the greatest. He's one of your greatest shows. And I know he doesn't sell like Conor McGregor sells, because Conor got his whole country with him, you know, has a whole country with him. But I would love to see him get back in the ring and get something going,
man. I do too. He is one of the most special guys in the ring. And I, you know, it's a tough thing. His guy's gotten in trouble, you know, he's, but you know, at the same time, he's really special. And you know, these products don't last long, you know?
Right. The shelf life is what it is, man. It's what it is. And this time away, I wish he would have been, you know, taking some people out. I thought that that Francis Ngannou fight was going to happen between John and Francis, and that never happened. So I guess we'll continue to wait. Now we'll wait. Both of their major stars are sidelined, because John Jones haven't fought in a while, and Conor McGregor will be out in a while. If I try to do a turnover, that's tantamount to, what do you say, back in the old days when, the top two guys in the league were Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. That's like both of those guys being out for the season, you know. Or right now, who would you say it is? Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, no, you're right. Who moves the needle most? John Jones and Conor McGregor. Yeah,
right, absolutely. It's like to have those two dudes out. Yeah, I'm going to still watch. Don't get me wrong. I'll still watch. I watch any fight, because at any time, anybody.
Oh, the UFC is great. There are plenty of awesome products out there. Kamaru Usman. There's tons of great, really talented guys out there in the UFC. So we have plenty of things to keep us entertained until then.
Right. But we talked about it, though. You know, there's a difference. We're talking about talent, and then we talk about that it thing, that it factor. Conor McGregor has that it thing, you know what I mean? So we want to see his talent.
Right.
In octagon, but we also want to see his talent at talking noise. I used to call it, when I messed with boy, I said, man, dudes talk like that. I call that talking shit and swallowing spit. You know, you're just talking shit and swallowing your own spit. You're just talking all that shit. You know, but that's what Conor's great at, talking shit and
swallowing. Yeah, I mean, you see it, you know, with Dustin Poirier. Dustin Poirier clearly doesn't have it, you know. It's a difficult thing to express yourself in the way that you want to in all these moments, and Conor McGregor has this magnetism to him, and Dustin Poirier doesn't, you know, and he may be a better fighter here down here at the end when it comes down to it, but you know, Conor does a better job at getting people revved up for it. I don't know, it's a difficult revved game up, you gotta play there,
reaching in their pockets and pulling out that money for those buys. That's what Conor does. He knows how to sell. And that's why the UFC needs him. They need each other. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. Let's get to this TB12 thing that you were breaking down to me. Let me give you the floor on this. How TB12 has turned Tampa Bay into Championville. How were you breaking that down to me?
Well, Mike, I see this headline, you know, Tom Brady had a torn MCL all of last year. And, you know, obviously he's going to point right to the TB12 method. But at the same time,
I didn't think about it. Wait. You know what? I didn't even think about that. We just got this. After, you know, won the Super Bowl, I played with a bad MCL last year. All year long. Oh, you did? And you still won a championship? Yeah, my TB12 program. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What great promotion for his TB12 program.
Oh, yeah. And let's wait a couple of months. Let's not say this right after the Super Bowl as to, you know, sort of steal any kind of shine away from anything, you know. Now, this is months later now, plenty away from the fact, oh, yeah, by the way, had a torn MCL that whole time.
How do I take that? It was Tom really hurt, should the league look into Tampa Bay, because you're supposed to disclose all injuries.
This is true.
We never heard anything about that, and now you want to bring this thing out in July?
Okay, yeah, he could be making some waves for his team there.
And they say he had a surgery in February.
I guess that's that whole them riding the line of how injured is it, how torn is it, and, you know, hey, he's still able to walk, so he's fine, you know, okay, so it's not an injury. He's still operating.
That's pretty interesting. You know? That is the part. Everybody
walks into games with some little bit of injury, but, yeah, that could be messy for them.
So they walk in the game hurt. Everybody's hurt. And I heard somebody the other day say it. They said it backwards. They said, oh, you can play when you're injured. I think it was Shaq speaking of, or somebody said, you can play when you're injured. You can't play when you're hurt. No. You can play when you hurt.
Right.
You can't play when you're injured. Yeah. And everybody has a hurt, but an MCL is an injury. There ain't no hurt. You know, and he still lined it up and played, and nobody brought that up. I just find that to be fascinating. I think, you know what, I think that is, That's New England in Tampa, because that sounds like some Bill Belichick would do. Just run, just keep it going. Don't put that on. I don't want people thinking or gaining some kind of confidence because they think our quarterback is not at 100%. That's a little Belichickian to me, you know. And I'm sure that's something Tom took to them. They didn't bring that to Tom. Like, Tom, we're not going to say anything. I guarantee you, Tom said.
Maybe Tom's being quiet about it himself, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
You don't want everybody in the world to know all of a sudden the left knee is vulnerable and everybody's going after it the rest of the season, you know. So, yeah, you got to ride that.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And remember now, that left knee, that's the same knee. That's the knee he hurt before, too. Because remember, it was his lead leg when he tore the ACL. Boom, the ACL. That's that lead leg. The leg was out front. The guy dove into him. Then we came up with a new rule. You can't go down by the quarterback's knees like that. You know? So it was that same lead leg. I guarantee you, Tom had a lot to do with that. With that not getting out. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I find that brilliant. I find that brilliant on his part. But you were talking about how TB12 is affecting the whole Tampa Bay area.
Oh, yeah.
All of them are winning championships. That's why it's becoming Championville.
Man, since Tom Brady has shown up to town, all of the sports franchises have gone up.
Isn't that crazy?
You know, check this out, Michael. Here's the timeline for you. St. Patrick's Day of 2020, Tom Brady announces he's leaving Boston for Tampa Bay. And I got to give Chris Long a little shout out, because he had one of the funniest tweets, which was, you know, Tom Brady leaving Boston on St. Patrick's Day has got to be some kind of a crime, you know?
I like that. You're right.
I'm getting the tweet wrong, but shout out to Chris Long. That made me laugh out loud, and I still remember it. Tom Brady announces he's going to Tampa St. Patrick's Day of last year. Fast forward, September 28th, the Tampa Bay Lightning win their first Stanley Cup. Then a couple of months later, October 20th, the Tampa Bay Rays in the MLB make it to the World Series against the Dodgers. They end up losing, but still made it to the World Series for the first time in a long time. Then the Tampa Bay Bucks win the Super Bowl. And now, just last week, the Tampa Bay Lightning have won back-to-back championships. And oh yeah, by the way, there's no NBA franchise in Tampa Bay, but the closest thing to the Miami Heat were also in the NBA Finals last year. Michael, what's the deal? You just got winning, following him around?
Well, actually, the closest thing to him are the Orlando Magics. Magic right up the street, and they ain't winning nothing.
Let's not let some good facts get in the port or get in the way of a good story or however that goes.
I just thought about it because, you know, I don't know why I think about it because I went to an Orlando game because I know they're right there. Okay, let me not tell y'all that. I know that right there because, you know, Orlando is a little more quiet than Tampa. They got a street in Tampa Bay, Mayberry Street, and everything is right there. I mean, you know, everything is right there. Everything is right there. You know, I don't know how those guys in Tampa.
That's where it's going down in Tampa?
Yeah,
Mayberry Street?
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. All of them are right there. You can't ride down that street without seeing those places that, you know, that you go and you pull out the 20 and say, well, hey, what's your name? And they say, well, what's your name? And you put the 20 right there and they start, okay, they got a whole bunch of them. You know, I used to think that's why the guys could never succeed because there's too much of that over there. But not with Tom there. Everything has changed with Tom. Because Tom brings a different way about practice and how to prepare for it. And he has turned that. So, yeah, Tom, he's special. Everywhere he goes, championships follow. And in Tampa, they are certainly following. And not just on the football field, which I find to be amazing, but also with other teams. And that's
look at the track record from Boston since all that time that he was in Boston. The Boston Bruins pulled off championships and the Red Sox got over the curse. You know, the city of Boston went up while he was there. And he's bringing it to Tampa. And now, as you just said there about practice and how he brings a whole different element to practice itself, training camp around the corner, Michael. Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Steelers. Next week.
Yep, that's Thursday, baby. Oh, I want to be in Arizona. I want to be in Old Town right there. Oh, yeah, isn't it Thursday? Right there. Be next Thursday, boy. Next Thursday going to be in camp. Now, I'll be out there the week after that. I can't believe that. I know we're talking. I cannot believe we're back up on it.
It's already here.
Can you imagine the people that are going to come out? Because, you know, I've seen it everywhere I've gone. Everywhere I've gone, since people have gotten the chance to come back, has been incredible. Everybody flowing back in the stadium, flowing back everywhere you go.
Oh, yeah. I was in Vegas a couple of weeks ago, Michael, for my birthday, but I happened to see Dave Chappelle at the MGM Grand, and it was their first completely open show in a year. And Vegas was rocking, man. And I imagine it was even crazier for that Connor fight. But you're right, man. The people are vaccinated and people are getting back to normal life. And it's a beautiful thing.
And in the NFL, oh, my God. And I can't wait. That Dallas Cowboy-Pittsburgh Steelers game, that Hall of Fame game is going to be insane. You know, because we'll open up with all the new facilities at the Hall of Fame. We got the Centennial class. You know, they'll play the game that Thursday, do a jacket ceremony Friday and Saturday and Sunday. We're going to do ceremonies, you know what I mean, to get everybody in because they got a lot of people to go in. So it's insane when you think about that we are back to this. We got through the COVID year. Now we're about. And speaking of being back, I want to say this, too, because I've been wanting to talk about this. Like, you know, I was with some guys the other day because I was trying to find out when I heard seven teams in the NFL had reached above a threshold for vaccinated players. You know, they had enough players to reach some threshold they have, so the vaccinated players. And I wanted to know if the Cowboys were in that seven teams. And, of course, because you really can't get that stuff because that's like HIPAA laws. You don't supposed to even know that stuff.
Right.
You know?
People's medical records.
Right. You don't know right. that. You don't know that know the medical records. But I did get that information. And the Cowboys are not one of those teams. And Sean, that pissed me the hell off. Mm. That pissed me the hell off. That tells me that it's not engrafted. Winning a championship, it has to be something engrafted right in your spirit. Nothing matters more than this. Nothing. We were talking about Tom Brady. Do you really think anything else in the world? You know, I'm not talking about his family. I don't want anybody talking about. Well, what about his kids, Michael? Stop all that. We're not talking about that. Nothing else in the world is more important to Tom than winning a championship. You know, when I talk about family, I'm talking about this is right. And that's what I want to see in the Cowboys locker room. And when you're not part of those seven teams, you tell me that you're not there yet. Sean, if I'm playing football for the Dallas Cowboys right now and under these circumstances, every day I'm coming in that locker room in the offseason, dog, is everybody vaccinated, man? We ain't got time.
Yeah.
We're going to go do some winning. We're going to go win the championship. We will need everybody. So I will be standing right on the star in the middle of the locker room and say, everybody has to get vaccinated. We can't lose anybody for 2 weeks because you didn't go get vaccinated. I know you've got all of these stuff. I don't want to hear none of that. All we should be in this locker room thinking about is winning a championship, and we need COVID out the damn way. Best we can get it out the way. We should get every 2 weeks. You know, losing somebody in this sport for 2 weeks, it's a wrap. It's not the NBA.
No, you know, that's NBA, so much time. And we've already seen so many examples of guys over these last couple of months, like you point to the golfer, John Rahm. The guy was leading a tournament 3 days into it, only had to close out the last day, got COVID, couldn't finish the tournament. Team USA has already canceled a couple of things.
Lost that championship.
Obviously, and you know, there's people who've been vaccinated and still getting it.
That's going to eat his ass up forever. That's going to had the championship. That's going, I mean, forever. Forever.
Oh, yeah, by the way, that John Rahm thing, that's $1 million on the line. He closes that tournament out. That's like $1 million. And then, by the way, you know, PGA guys, you know, they're lucky if they win 10 tournaments throughout their career. So, I mean, winning a tournament is much more than just like winning a game. You know, it's a huge thing for endorsements and all kinds of for their career in general. And, you know, it's just, you know, you want to just take that quick precaution. You know, I mean, it's something that could hold you back.
And even that, remember, I was just with my boy who did 8 months in the hospital for COVID.
Right.
Flatlined twice. You know, so, get COVID, you're out for a couple of weeks. I hope that's the worst of it. And don't get to where that other thing got. I just want to say this to all my brothers and everybody out there, man. Listen, if those people wanted to kill you because all the government, man, this is how brother talk, man. The government or the white folks, they're trying to kill it. Man, if they wanted to kill you, you'll be dead, man. We don't know. They can put it in water. They can put something in. But all this stuff we do, we go to the bar. Let me get a bottle of cranberry. You don't know what's in that bottle of cranberry. You suck it right down.
Right.
And now you go to the sink. You go to the sink. You get the water. You put it on your toothbrush. You start brushing teeth. You don't know what's in that water, but you go and use it. You know?
Oh, yeah. Listen,
if they wanted to get you, and if they wanted to get something in your body, they got so many ways to do it.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Why make it? Why go such an obvious route if that's what they're gonna do? Right? Put it in the toothpaste. And and that's why I also laugh at the people that think that they're gonna get microchipped. This phone, we're already willingly carrying around a tracking device that we tell all of our secrets and passwords and money. And they already got us. They're already following all of us around. You know
everything. You say something and it shows up on this phone.
And look, just personally, Michael. Look, if this vaccine is going to turn us all into zombies, just me personally, I'd rather go out with the first wave of zombies than go fight the zombie apocalypse, Michael. <You know?
laughs> is that the leading thought that somehow?
I think it's just a general fear that people don't know. You know, they don't know that what the potential consequences of having this vaccine could do to them. You know, some adverse side effects, as we all seen on television. Every medication that's offered on TV is, well, watch out for this side effect and that side effect and this
right,
side effect,
right,
and all that, you know. But, you know,
I
think some people are maybe just ignoring a lot of other things, like the flu shots that people are getting every year, or all of the vaccines I got as a child. You know, I mean, I don't think people didn't question any of those. And I'm sure people have some valid reasons. You know, people have compromised immune systems in other ways. And I mean, look, I'm sure there's a million reasons why people don't want to. But the conversation we're talking about here are the Dallas Cowboys and professional athletes and right. them, you know, that getting in the way of them performing their duties and really doing what they want to do. And, you know, you want to be there for your teammates. And we've already seen so many examples of other athletes having to sit out and forfeit, you know, their job and their livelihood because they weren't vaccinated. So,
right.
put your best foot forward.
I'm such a football player. I'm such just a football player. And winning is crucial. I said last year, if I was in the league and prior to the season, even before we started all that, I would have gone and got COVID. I'd have gotten it out of the way. I would have said, give me COVID right now. I don't want to risk going into the season and possibly getting it. Let me get COVID right now. I would have tried to find a place to get it. I'd have said, where can I go to get COVID?
Look, know, I don't know if I'd be running around through the hospital COVID ward or anything like that, but if I was in that
position. No, you're going to have fun getting it. You're going to one of them strip bars. It's going to be passed around there. You're going to have fun. You're going to get sick. So you might as well have fun getting sick. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So there's a lot of germs in there and droplets flying around all everywhere. Go in there.
I don't know who it was. I was listening to somebody. It was a comedian, actually. I'm drawing on my memory from my Dave Chappelle show. I saw Jeffrey Ross out there, and he's just like, I got them all. I got the Johnson & Johnson. I got the Pfizer. I got the Moderna. He's like, I got them all. I got 50 shots. You know, if I'm in the position of, you know, somebody on the Cowboys, something like that, I've got them all. Give me them all. Yeah, give me four. I don't know if I'm going to go seek out getting COVID or but give me all the vaccines.
Sean, watch. I guarantee you, we're saying it right here on this day, right here, July 16th. There will be some major, major star get COVID this season, and it's going to cause a major issue with teams. I really don't see, you know, it blows my mind that they only talked about seven teams. It blew my heart and my head out the water when I know the Cowboys aren't in there. You know what I'm saying? But I guarantee you, watch this year. Somebody, and they'll be sitting back saying, man, I should have gotten vaccinated. And it's going to be a crucial moment at a crucial time, and COVID will rear its head and cause a crucial problem for that team. I guarantee you, I said here on the MIP on July 16th that is definitely going to happen. I'm shocked that most teams, not just the Dallas Cowboys, I'm hurt that the Dallas Cowboys are, because I need them to be in SoFi Stadium for the Super Bowl. But I'm shocked that there's not more teams than seven that are above this certain threshold. I just tell you, man, I hope it don't cost us.
And look, I waited a couple of months to get the vaccine, you know? I let a couple of million people go first.
Me too. You know? Me too. And I'm okay with that. I understand.
If it was a 50-50, then I wouldn't have got it. But, you know, that's not the truth. You know,
every day, that's what we do. That's a perfect way of putting it, Sean. Every day, we are playing the odds. We're playing the odds.
You already pointed it out. We're playing the odds with the Coke that we open up. How do we know that there wasn't too much whatever put in that Coca-Cola bottle or that turkey that we just had? Or like, you know, I mean, there's so many other things that we put our faith into, you know, and, you know, the truth is, you know, no, I'm not smart enough to know exactly what's in that vaccine or know what's going to, you know, but you know what? I don't know exactly what's in that turkey sandwich either.
You don't know what's in that sandwich.
You know,
we keep knocking down.
I don't know
what's in that bottle of tequila that you're taking a shot at. You don't know what's in that bottle of tequila.
Right.
It just blows my mind, man. Let's get back to what's important. And winning championships are important.
Let's get back to that, Michael. I mean, the Dak Prescott is
stuff.
Back, and the hype train is back on for your Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a big year for y'all, and I think that's why you're upset and you want to see your team put its best foot forward. And I think that's what's coming through clearest for me in this conversation with you, is that this is a big year for y'all. You got Dak back. You got him paid. You know, everything's right. You got
everybody has to feel that. You see, that's what I'm saying. Everybody has to feel it. Everybody has to feel it. Everybody has to want it. And then everybody has to be reiterating to everybody that we all have to do everything we can. We got everything we need. Now we have to do everything we can to make this happen. And it's a possibility. Look, that defense is going to be better. It can't get worse. The defense is going to be better because it can't get worse. Mm-hmm. And now you got Dak. You have what you have at the wide receiver position. Zeke looks great. That offensive line will start out healthy now. It will start out healthy. I don't expect to get them all through the season healthy. But some of the injuries of last year that got some of the other guys an opportunity to play will prepare them to be better if something happens now this year. You know, I love what they do. On one side, when you got Leo Collins and the best guard in the world, you know what I'm saying? Let's just stop playing. The best man in the world over there is Zach. He's just the baddest boy in the world. You got the big boy on the other side, man. If I can keep him healthy over at the tackle, then they got a shot. They got a shot. A little worried about the center for the Cowboys. See what happens with play there. But I think, man, this could be the year. This could be the year. All the mess going on in Green Bay, trust me, that's going to have an effect on that team this season. Somehow, some way. That's going to fracture the team.
No doubt.
Even if Aaron Rodgers come back, that's going to have an effect. Now, the Cowboys got to get ready. I think they're a little worried about San Francisco in that NFC, because San Francisco, I think they'll be back and back up the snuff. But the Cowboys.
Yeah, but they got a quarterback situation to work out too. We still got to see something out of. We got to see either Jimmy come back or Trey Lance really step up and become the man. I mean, Dak Prescott's rocking and ready to go, man.
But Kyle Shanahan is good enough to do Andy Reid. What Andy Reid did with Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes, Kyle Shanahan can do with Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance.
100%.
You see what I'm saying?
100%.
Andy Reid and Alex Smith, they that's a playoff team they had, and they transitioned, and the quarterback play when he was ready took it to a Super Bowl every year kind of team. You see what I mean? And that's what they want to do in San Francisco. They want that same footprint. They want that same footprint. Only if it's up to them, they'll probably want to get Trey Lance on the football field even sooner than they got Patrick Mahomes on the football.
Oh, yeah. They're holding their breath, crossing their fingers and toes, hoping they can do another Patrick Mahomes situation and have their homegrown guy that they drafted turn into their franchise guy. But Michael, who I have my eye on this year in the NFC also, is those Los Angeles Rams with Matthew Stafford now in time. That team. Woo! My goodness.
That's going to be interesting too to watch. That's interesting to watch because Stafford is I like Stafford, great quarterback, done some great things. But do you believe? Let me ask this way: if you believe if Aaron Rodgers had all the teams that Stafford had in Detroit, do you believe he would have gotten that team anywhere? That's a hell of a question. You see what I'm saying? So I want to see it. I want to see it. I've always liked what I saw in Matt Stafford, but I'm like, come on, man. Why we can't get this winning going? Why can't you do some winning? You know what I mean? And now, is it something that will rear its head in L.A.? You know,
but he's been sitting in one of those franchises that, you know, has that stink on them. Detroit Lions, they just don't try like all these other teams do. They just don't, Michael. They don't ever go out and spend the money and bring in that big guy. And, you know, they just haven't done that. So your first question of could Aaron Rodgers have done it? No, I don't think so. You know, I think Aaron Rodgers is maybe more talented, but at the same time, he's also been in a much better situation. You know, he walked into Brett Favre's team. That team was ready to go. And that franchise had success in recent years and were doing well. You know, I don't know, the team that Matthew Stafford walked onto was not that Packers team that Aaron Rodgers walked onto. So I don't know. I'm glad to see, Matthew Stafford, because I've always sort of put him in there in that top 10 quarterback talent throughout the league through these past years. He's got some incredible throws in the bag, and the guy's never practically missed a game. He's been out there with near broken backs. I mean, I'm excited to see him with a really mean defense that was just there. One of the smartest coaches, Sean McVay, and a lot of weapons in, you know, just the pass catchers he's got in the field, Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. And I'm excited to see what they're going to do too.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I want to see that match. I want to see how that works out when you get Matt Stafford and Sean McVay together and dialing up those plays, like you said, with that defense. With that defense, it's going to be interesting, and that'll be another team that will have to stand opposed of my Dallas Cowboys, because I believe the Dallas Cowboys, they have it. This has to be the year. I always say this: everywhere, Dak has over delivered. Dak has always over delivered. Dak, where he got drafted, nobody gave him a chance. He over delivered. Came in, played well. Tony Romo went down. He got a chance. He over delivered. Like 13-3, his first time. You know what I mean? Every time he over delivers. He just got a contract, one for the ages. I need him to over deliver. Everybody was saying, no way they gave Dak all that money. Is Dak worth that? I need Dak to show up. Hell yeah, I'm worth it. And now I will show you. And I will see you in SoFi Stadium. That's what I need Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys to show us. And that thing all starts next Thursday.
Thanks for downloading the MIP. Check out new episodes of the Michael Irvin Podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com. Today. That's GEICO.com.